Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. Welcome to another edition of Life Coach Radio Network. I'm your host, Martin Salama, your divorce recovery coach. And I'm very excited for a couple of reasons. First thing is I just want to let my audience know that I will be on the second and fourth Wednesday of every month going forward now. That's my spot. So keep an eye out for it if you're enjoying my shows with all different kinds of people. I don't just have people to talk about divorce recovery and things like that. As you know, if you've listened to my shows before, and tonight's just like that. And I'm very, very excited because I have a coach who helps with careers. And she's really great. I'm excited to have her on the show. Tonight, my guest is Yulia LaRoe. Hi, Yulia. How are you?
Hi, Martin. Great to be here.
Great to have you. So let me tell everybody a little bit about you. So first, Yulia is a recovering attorney and the founder and CEO of HappyTransitions.com and LifeBeyondBigLaw.com. She helps attorneys and other professionals who are sick of being stuck in a professional rut figure out how their next career or business move could be and implement a step-by-step transition plan so they can invest their talents into the work they love, make money, have fun, and enjoy the freedom and lifestyle they desire. For tools and strategies and expert advice you can on creating a fulfilling life, career in life, you can visit her at www.happytransitions.com. And tonight, the title of my show, which I should have done earlier, is Do You Think You're Happy in Your Career or Are You Really Miserable? Which goes right into what, of course, is Yulia's passion. And tonight, we're going to discuss the truth about why you feel miserable in your career even though you think you should be happy and how to change that. Yulia will discuss how she coaches those who don't feel happy in their jobs and what needs to happen in order for that to change. So, Yulia, this sounds like a fantastic, fantastic subject.
Yeah, I'm very, very passionate about it. And obviously, as I go through and I tell a little bit about myself and kind of how I got to be a coach, this will make a lot of sense.
Okay, great. And you know what? That kind of leads into my first question. You know, tell us a little bit about you, about, you know, your life. It quickly, we don't want to hear, you know, I was born and that, but about where you were and how you ended up becoming a coach and, more importantly, how you became this Happy Transitions coach.
Absolutely, would love to. Well, so before I became a business and career coach and a recovering attorney, and, of course, as most coaches, you know, we all have our prior lives, right?
Right.
So I spent about 10 years working as a lawyer in a large firm, and I was feeling miserable and unfulfilled. And the funny thing about it, of course, it didn't happen right away. You know, I graduated from law school in 2003, and, you know, at first I was doing the work of business litigation, and then it was international law. It was interesting. It was interesting. It was challenging, and the people I worked with were really interesting and great. And after a few years, it kind of started to feel kind of disengaged and unmotivated. And I kind of got to a place where I realized that, you know, I was mentally stimulated, interested in it, but I had no passion for it. And it didn't have a sort of deeper meaning to me, and I didn't see how what I was doing every day was making a difference, or at least in the way that I defined it. So I remember the last couple of years of my practice, I would sit in my beautiful office, a gorgeous office in Century City in Los Angeles, stare at the Hollywood sign in the distance and think, you know, how miserable I was. And it just didn't make sense, right? You look around to see all the things I have, this wonderful position, career, prestige, but no happiness. And I spent some time kind of trying to figure out, okay, so if it's not this, then what else? And I couldn't come up with a good idea. I enjoyed a few things here and there, but it wasn't anything that, oh, this is my one great passion. So just kind of, you know, stayed and pretty much resigned to the idea that I would just kind of be like that. Just, you know, do my work and, you know, who gets to be happy in their job anyway, right? Only the lucky ones.
So what happened? What was that aha moment? What was it that made you say, no, I'm not going to do this anymore?
You know, it was the most bizarre thing. I have to say, I actually remember literally as if it happened yesterday, or maybe even today. So it was back in 2010. I was coming back to the office from lunch, and I was like walking, crossing the street. And I literally had this feeling, this realization that, you know, one day, no doubt, no questions, I'm going, and this might sound dramatic, but that's exactly what happened, is I'm going to die. And you know, it wasn't one of those,
wow,
yeah, you know, we're all going to die one day kind of stuff. It literally, I felt it to the core. And I got back to the office and I just sat there and I thought, oh my God, what am I doing with my life? Why am I so afraid to try something different? You know, what do I really have to lose? And that was it. You know, that's it. From that point on, I just decided to do whatever I could to figure out this, you know, one great passion.
Right. And so how did that lead you to find that great passion?
So of course, you know, as it took some time. It wasn't a straight path necessarily. It took me about 2 years before I really even got out of the practice. And for the next couple of years, I ended up reading, I don't know, a billion of self-help books and personal development seminars. I even completed a yoga teacher training course, never really intending to be a teacher, but, you know, felt like maybe there's something there that will kind of point me in the right direction. You're going to love this one. I did a 10-day silent meditation retreat. So no talking for 10 days, right? That's intense. And volunteered. Yeah. It was interesting. A lot of really, really, you know, great realizations, but still not, didn't quite connect me with my new career. I went to Costa Rica and volunteered there and traveled around India. I mean, all kinds of things, right? All sort of in the hopes of uncovering that one great passion. And so finally, it just sort of all clicked. And I came across somebody that I met on one of my travels who was a coach from Brazil, actually. And I didn't know really anything about the profession until I met that woman, and she told me about what she did. And I remember sitting, looking at her and saying, oh, wow, this just sounds amazing. This is exactly what I want to do. And that was it. And this was really kind of the moment where I really connected to my passion for really inspiring and motivating others to pursue that true fulfillment and happiness in their work, because, you know, we spend majority of our time working. So to not be, you know, maybe not sort of, you know, extremely happy, but to at least to be somewhat happy or somewhat fulfilled in your career, I mean, that's an absolute must.
So was she a coach? Is that what it was? Was that what it was?
Yeah. She was a coach, and she practiced coaching in Brazil. And it was really interesting to learn just about the industry and how, and she got into it through yoga. So that was her path. But
right. And did you know about coaching before that?
I might have heard here and there, but really not a whole lot. Yeah,
gotcha.
Mm. Okay. So that was my path.
Fantastic. I mean, you know, that's what, each person is different how they find it. And I'm always interested in knowing that. You know, there's always a moment where, and you say it's like yesterday, everybody remembers it. Because I actually talk about this in my book. I wrote a book called Recovering from Divorce, 7 Steps to Recover Without Drama to Create a New Life, that there are defining moments in your life. And those moments end up affecting you your whole life. Sometimes you recognize them at that moment, that was that moment. And sometimes you don't. And when you do, it's you know, it could be a good thing, it could be a bad thing that happened that made you recognize it. In your case, it was you were tired of what you were doing, and you just couldn't figure out how to get out of the rat race or off the you know, the hamster wheel that you were on.
Okay.
And but you were open to the idea of looking, and once it hit you, because you were open to it, you found it. So, you know, good for you. you know, congratulations for that, because a lot of people just think it, and then they go, oh, that can never happen, and they close themselves off to it.
Yeah.
You know, kudos
right.
for you for that.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm super, super happy now.
So that's great. So now, what we're talking about here in this in our conversation tonight is that, you know, you think you're happy in your career, or are you really miserable? And that's really up what you were feeling. You know, the truth about why you feel miserable in your career, even though you think you should be happy, and how to change that. So let's go into that a little bit. How do people end up in careers that that ultimately make them you know, miserable?
Yeah, that's a great question. Right. So, you know, I mean, I imagine most people, most professionals, anybody with a career, you know, never in a million years are just sitting there thinking that, oh, we're going to find ourselves here, you know, in a career that we work so hard to build, feeling unhappy and even uncertain if that's what they really want to do. I mean, it really sucks. And, of course, I've been there, so I know how unpleasant this can be. And the kind of the hardest thing is, you know, usually these people, they did everything right. You know, they followed the path, they studied in college, they've gone to a grade school, they've climbed that ladder, and they got where they thought they wanted, just to be left sort of in that confused and disappointed and unhappy state. And I guess the question really comes down to, you know, what went wrong?
Do they get that feeling of that's all there is?
Yeah, right. It's sort of like, you know, you're in this, you refer to the hamster wheel in the rat race, right? You're in that race, you're running, you're chasing it, and then you arrive and you go, wait a second, this is what I've been chasing? This is what
right.
is at the end of my rainbow, but I don't really like it, or I don't really want it, so what do I do now? Right? So when I work with clients, and sort of really kind of my own transition was it was just first to kind of understand, you know, why do we get to this place in the first place, right? And what are the things that, I guess for the lack of a better term, that go wrong? And it's usually a few things. And the first kind of step is to really acknowledge that we're not taught to look for, you know, that ideal occupation or our calling or passion. We're taught to look for a job, right, for that practical, reliable, safe job. And this is that conventional approach to what most career and job searches look like. You know, you look at your skills, you look at your past experience, your education, what are you good at doing, right? Then you look at your career options and you think, okay, so which jobs match? And then you kind of pick one and go for it. Fix up your resume, and then contact as many people as possible, go to interviews, you get the job, you start working, and that's pretty much it. And
right, I understand that. Because, you know, in my own way, it's a little different for me, but it was the same thing. I grew up in a community where everybody went into business. You went into your own business. You went into your parents' business, your father's business, your family business, and you were expected to be a businessman. And I did that for 30 years. I was in businesses, and I was never happy. I was never happy. And then in 2008, I was working on a project with my wife for 5 years to open up a huge health club. And in 2008, we finally got the approval, and everything fell apart.
Wow.
And we lost everything. And I looked at myself, and I said, you know what? I've been doing what I would have been supposed to be doing my whole life, and I'm miserable. I have nothing right now. And a year later, my wife tells me I want a divorce, which just added to the whole thing. And I said, now's the time for me to reinvent myself and figure out what I like to do and what do I want to do with the rest of my life. I'm 50. At the time, I was almost 50. Now I'm 50 years old. I'm like 51. And what am I going to do? So I hear that, what you're saying.
Yeah. No, and that's, you know, and sometimes I love that you brought that up. You know, sometimes it does take almost as, you know, one kind of dramatic event really kind of waking us up, right, to this realization. And, you know, as you were talking about this, I also kind of, going into your own business even that, most people might not even think about, well, if you go into your own business, it's your own thing, you should be happy. But again, right, it really, you know, it's not so much about what you do, and we're going to get to this in a moment, but it's really about who you are. When I also look at clients and then people I work with who, you know, who are kind of trying to move away from that professional rut or a job that they're not happy. And a lot of the times, you know, the search for a job really is focused on, you know, especially the first or second job, you know, early on, is kind of focused on financial aspects or physical location or maybe sometimes the prestige factor. Right, and very few people think, oh, is this going to make me truly career happy, right? Is this a great match for my personality? Will I be excited to jump out of bed every morning to do this? I don't know anybody who starts their career with these thoughts. Usually it's, oh, my God, I need a job. I got to pay my bills. I have these loans from school, right?
Right.
And it really doesn't, you know, the thought of career happiness really doesn't start to come in until we kind of start to experience this frustration and dissatisfaction because we invest so much time and effort and energy and nothing. We don't get any
of it. So that, you know, that makes me think of another question based on that. So what are some of the signs that the people find that they're not happy, as happy in their career as they think they were going to be?
Yeah, well, that's another great question. So, you know,
well,
usually there are a few, right? And sometimes, you know, it's like one you know, big dramatic event, one major event might kind of, you know, be that sort of trigger, right, to make the person realize that they're kind of really in the wrong spot in their own career. But usually it's that event is sort of, you know, the last kind of that last drop, right? It kind of starts to happen gradually. And at first it's not too obvious, but it's sort of these signs of frustration, dissatisfaction, that kind of general disconnect. And it builds up and it becomes stronger and stronger. What I see a lot is just, you know, it kind of manifests in not just emotional ways. For example, you know, people feel unmotivated. They started getting cranky with their colleagues, you know, at work. They kind of dread waking up in the morning. There's overall kind of physical, that lack of energy. Just, you know, I think about work and I just go feel depleted right away. And another huge sign is procrastination. You know, it's impossible to motivate yourself to do something that you're not excited to do.
I can get up every morning saying, well, I really got to do this again.
Exactly, and I don't care how many books you read on productivity. If you're not excited to do it, it's sheer willpower. I mean, you're forcing yourself to do it, and at some point, guess what? That energy that you've got is going to run out, and it just gets thinner and thinner, and it's harder and harder. It can take quite a toll on the person, for sure.
Right, and of course, it's each person's different. Some people might hit them like a thunderbolt, and some people it may be like a dripping faucet that takes a very long time before they start to feel it. But, you know, so now here they are. So why would someone choose to stay in a career that's making them miserable?
Well, so remember how earlier I said it's really, you know, finding that career happiness is really not about what you do. I would say career satisfaction is definitely about what we do and how we do it. But career happiness is about who we are, right?
Well, you know, I explain that a little better for our audience, the difference between satisfaction and happiness, because that's a huge point you just made there.
Yeah. So, you know, when we look at our sort of career options, whether it's a business or a job, there's certain things that have to align, right? There has to be a certain amount of income that we're making, right? It has to be located in the right geographical location, or if it's, you know, online job, then, you know, work from home, whatever. Whatever the requirements are. And these tend to be more of the external ones. Now, when we start to look at these, you know, kind of internal points, the things that are important to us because of who we are as an individual, that's where this true career happiness happens. Right? It's very difficult to, because again, happiness is something that comes within, and being happy, basing that happiness only on things that are outside of us, is a very dangerous place to be, because once the conditions change, that happiness goes away, right? So in order to maintain it and maintain it permanently without others having the ability to influence it, it has to come from within. And so, you know, and I guess we can even look at, you know, what defines us as individuals, right? So we kind of start, you know, look at the early stages of our lives, and in the beginning, our preferences, our likes, dislikes, priorities, they start to form under the influence of, you know, family members and our environment and peers and culture, definitely culture in which we grew up, and certain kind of memorable experience, positive and negative, right? And all of these things help us to form our basic rules for life or our core values. And the truth about these core values is that they serve as our, I call it the inner moral compass, right? It's something that guides through life and defines us really as individuals. And these core values is what helps us make these choices that we believe are the best choices for us. So when people end up in a career that, you know, that they're not happy, but they keep staying, is, and this might sound funny, but they're at war. I mean, you know, if not at war, then definitely in a battle. And this battle is between their head and their heart.
Right. And does it also have to do with a little bit of the fact that the career they're in doesn't align with the values that's their, what you called, their inner, you know, their inner core feelings?
Bingo. Spot on. Exactly. Exactly. And it's literally this sort of tug of war, right? It goes probably something like this, you know, why can't I just be happy where I am? I worked so hard to get here, all these years in school, the money I spend, I did everything I was supposed to. Why am I still empty and fulfilled and not happy? What is wrong with me? Right? And I bet this might sound familiar to some of your listeners, because that's the logic, right? The logic is telling them, their head is telling them that they're exactly where they should be, because that was the plan. But then their heart, their values, right, is telling them otherwise. And, of course, it would not have happened if everything aligned. So there's got to be a disconnect. There's got to be this dissonance between their existing values and what's happening in their workplace.
Right. You know, before we go on, I just want to mention a couple of things. First thing is that if anybody wants to call in, you're more than welcome. You know it. You see it on your screen if you're listening on the radio, on the computer. The number is 646-716-9397, and you just can call in. Even if you want to just listen that way, and if you want to speak to us and ask Yulia a question, there's so many people out there who are feeling like, is this all I have in my life? Is this job everything that I'm supposed to be? You know, give us a call. Push number one. It'll let me know on my dashboard here, on my switchboard, that you're interested in asking a question to Yulia. And I'm sure, Yulia, you're more than happy to take anybody's calls. So,
absolutely.
You know, that'll be great, and we'd love to hear from you. And if you're on the computer, you can type your question right in, and I'll ask it for you. So, you know, we're going to continue. But before we go on, what we like to do here is to promote our fellow coaches on our Life Coach Radio networks. So I just want to go quickly over what's going to be coming up in the next few days. Tomorrow at 12 p.m., it's Walk Your Talk with Leanne into the Heart of Forgiveness. And Leanne Parsons is the Walk Your Talk coach, and she's the founder and CEO of Legacy Now Lived. She's a life leader and legacy coach, and she's created the dynamic heirloom coaching process. And so she talks about, you know, things all the time, mostly about adoptions, because that's what she focuses on, is helping people who are adopted find their, you know, their place in life. If they want to help them to find their real parents, that's great, but it's really to help them find their place. And this week, Leanne will be joined this week by Jennifer Cole, and they will continue their time together from last year as they journey from betrayal and trust into the heart of forgiveness. So that's tomorrow at 12, okay? Then on Friday at 12 p.m., train your brain up to your game, up your game with Coach Mandy. And please join Mandy on Friday at the 17th at noon. And this week's show is going to be looking at the energy and feelings behind some of the hot topics in sports. A-Rod's reactions to his suspension. Do you have to win a championship to be considered the best? Things like that. Who is it really for? Why must kids play multiple games a day? So, you know, it's got some good stuff there that Mandy Rosniak is going to talk about on Friday. And then Sunday evening at 9, it's Mark My Words with certified life and business coach Mark Shawl. And Mark is going to be interviewing financial advisor Brian Dumont of Dumont Financial LLC on personal financial makeover. When planning for their future and setting goals, many coaching clients wonder about the best way to make sure they're taking care of their financial futures. So he's going to have someone there to talk about, do you have enough money? Can I meet my financial goals? And Brian Dumont will go over some of that stuff with Mark on Sunday night. One last thing I want to mention, we're very, very excited that the Life Coach Radio Networks is having a weekend workshop. February 8th and 9th, it's the New Year, New You weekend workshop, and a bunch of coaches are going to be on for the weekend in New York City, and if you want to find out more details about it, it's Saturday and Sunday, February 8th and 9th, during the day, and we're all going to be, many of us are going to be giving coaching sessions on their own specific topic. For myself, I'm going to be talking about the 7 steps to recover from divorce, so that you can create your new life and find that new love, put the past behind you. And there's going to be many other shows. You can go to Life Coach Radio Networks, with an S at the end, .com, to find out more about it. And, Yulia, we do this all the time as part of what we do here. We make sure that we promote our fellow coaches and they promote us. And let's continue with our conversation, which I'm loving. I'm loving it. I'm feeling it because of the fact that I understand it. On my own level, I was never happy in my own business. I never felt I was that quote-unquote businessman. I always felt that there's more to me. I found that my passion, and I talk about this in my book, was I always loved to help people. And I needed to find a way. I mean, I was always involved in community events. I was always one of the heads of it. And I loved it. And I love helping people figure out how they could help as well in the organizations. They all think, oh, I don't have as much time as you do. I can't do all you do. And then showing them how easy it is, just to put a little bit in there. I thought about it, and I said, you know what? I love to help people. Let me become a life coach. And then going through the life coaching process, at the same time I was going through my divorce, it made me realize that that's the kind of coach I want to be, is to help people not feel the pain that you're going to feel, whether you're the one that asked for the divorce or you were asked for the divorce, that you're going to feel that pain, that emotional pain of being married to somebody for however long and now having to figure out how to move forward. So that's where I found my energy, and you could hear it in my voice. That's where my passion is. And so what we're talking about now, we talked about what the signs are and why would they choose. So what can they do about it? We know what I did about it. What can they do about it?
Yeah. You know, one of the sort of first, in the words of the wise, it's all about knowing yourself. I mean, it really comes down to knowing yourself first, right? In your cases, you had inkling. You had sort of that sense of, and the interesting thing is, you didn't stop being a business owner. I mean, this is your business. But how you showing up, how you bringing your true self into it has changed dramatically, right? So, that's interesting. You're doing a lot of the same things. You're marketing, you're promoting, you're working with clients, but now you brought your, I guess, essence into it, right? And so, you know, when I work with clients, this is one of the very first steps that we always take is getting clear on their values and really, you know, getting down to understanding that this is really the first step towards career happiness. I want to tell you just a quick story about one of my clients, and it's interesting because in your case, your relationship is so deep and made you go in a completely different direction. So I had a client, and let's just call her Kate, right? So Kate was an attorney, and she came to me because she's been feeling that kind of that progressive, more and more unhappy, disconnected, disengaged from her work, and it was a large firm, right? So she's handling big cases, and she's there for several years, and but not happy, kind of getting just more and more unhappy, more and more disconnected, and couldn't figure out why. And she had been in that mental back and forth, you know, why am I not happy? I should be happy, but I'm not, but I should be, but I'm not, right? And on paper, she had that perfect career. Great office, nice, you know, six-figure paycheck, all the prestige that came with working for a big firm. And you know, the tough thing for her was to get to this understanding of, well, you know, I've worked so hard to get here. I'm here. What's wrong? So she spent, of course, you know, a few years trying to rationalize and try to convince herself that it was fine. And it wasn't getting better, right? So eventually we start working together, and we did the process that I did with clients, kind of exploration of her core values. And through this special process that I use with clients, we've discovered that her top core values were accomplishment and independence. Interesting, right? So in the first glance, it's, okay, that makes sense. So as we started diving deeper into these two values, what we realized is that was exactly why she was unhappy in her current position. Her core value of independence was not being honored at work. It was actively being encroached upon, right? So in her case, her immediate boss, her partner that she worked most closely with, it was, he was pretty much a micromanager, somebody who controlled or, you know, wanted to control everything and everyone. And any attempts to express her independence were met not just with resistance, but with pretty much, you know, forget about it and this is how we do it. So after a while, you know, she kind of tried to express her independence, but after a while she had to shut it down. But the other side, right, her value of accomplishment, you know, of being a great professional, of moving forward, of getting to the top, that kept her going. Because if neither one of these values was being honored, she'd probably find something else or, you know, left in that position a long time ago. But one was being honored and the other one wasn't. So she kind of stayed in this, you know, internal conflict. And I bet you if she knew what these values were and how they were showing up and how they were not being honored, she would have made that decision much faster. And you know, for some people, maybe it would have meant leaving the law completely, but in her case, it was just realizing that, you know what, it's not about practicing law. It's just about this place. So she was able to shift things around and be, you know, create a position where she could run her own cases to a certain extent to create some more independence, and it made a world of difference. So this is really, truly, you know, it sounds so simple, but it's such a powerful process.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I know that from my own practice as well. Once people start to recognize their values, they become so much more self-aware of what's going on around them that they then figure out, okay, if I want to be happy, I have to honor my own values. And I talk about it with the divorce people. I tell them, okay, you're ready to go out and get married again, go dating.
Mm-hmm.
You should figure out what your values are and then look for someone who has similar values. They can't be exact. It's hard to find somebody who gets you the exact same values. It can be, but
right.
It's not usual. But the idea of it is in your case, you're saying the values are the values that you have and utilizing them in work and making sure that your work values are the same as your personal values.
That's
and that
right.
they work in harmony with what I do is, okay, so you just left a relationship where your values and the values of your ex were totally different. Is that what you want to do again? No, you want to find somebody who has the same values. So it's the same thing we talk about. The values is such an important part of it, and I hear it so much. I hear the passion in what you're saying. I mean, it's what drove you to change your career. You know, you tell somebody, in the real world, oh yeah, I was a lawyer. I went through law school. I was a lawyer for 10 years, or how many years it was, and then I just decided it's not what I wanted to do anymore. They'd look at you like you were from another planet.
They do. Like, I have three heads, that's for sure.
Right.
So
I get it. And, you know, people look at me and they go, what do you mean you're not a businessman? So in that sense, I go, I'm not. There were other circumstances in my case. But more importantly, it was me going through the coaching process for me personally and finding out that my values are helping people, not making the money. Success to each person is different. And that's what happens with coaching, right? That's what it is. It's having somebody there to hold your hand through that process.
Absolutely. Yeah, and this is exactly where knowing what your values are comes in, even sort of becomes even more important, right? It's just defining that success and what it means for you. And, you know, Martin, I know we're getting sort of closer to the end, and I would love to share just a little exercise with your listeners that I think would help
them right ahead.
Get a little bit closer to kind of really connecting to what their values are. It doesn't have to be anything kind of too difficult. Just we can start with identifying their sort of top 10 to 15 values, right? And it can be, you know, anything that's important, you know, deep convictions or something they value, something that's important to them. And so from those 10 or 15, I would have them pick five that represent their core values, right? Something that they absolutely have to have, something that they cannot live without. And really, you know, kind of focus on those five and take a close look at how well this current, you know, whether it's a job or profession or a business, how well it is aligning with these core values. And to make a list of ways in which your career is currently aligning with their core values and ways in which it doesn't. And to help in the process, I have these three questions that the listeners can answer, right? So the first one, what are the top five core values, especially as they relate to your career? And two is, how do you know that they are being honored? And how do you know that they're not being honored? And I have to say, some of your listeners might be very surprised what they find out. And that may be really eye-opening for them.
Right. I can imagine. Because you're asking them to face their things that are holding them back.
Yeah, in many ways.
They don't even recognize it.
Yeah,
it's fantastic. Yeah, that's a great exercise, and I think, you know, it's a great way for people to start that process of recognizing what has to happen for you to. And look, you could. It's like you said. It's not necessarily about changing careers. It's really about making sure that in whatever career you're going to be, is that you're aligned and you're happy with what it is. Like you said, with your client, she loved being a lawyer. She just didn't love the rules that were given to her, so she changed them.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. I love that you said that, right? Life doesn't have to be played by the rules that are given to us. We get to create our own, right? And this is just a really first step to figuring out what you want your definition of success to be so you can create those rules.
Well, so I'm curious, if there's one little nugget that you can give my audience or that you find that it works is a great way to figure out what's going on with your clients, what little nugget can you give them that we can leave our audience with here as something that you feel is important that they recognize?
Well, since we're talking about career happiness and really kind of figuring out, you know, are you just convincing yourself that you're happy in your career or you really are happy, I would say is trust your feelings, right? Because the mind and the intellect tends to override with a lot of thoughts and a lot of, you know, logic, but ultimately it can overpower and things can get really confusing. I'm sure many of us think, oh my gosh, I have so many thoughts, you know, and kind of that mental, hamster wheel in my head. And I guess my recommendation is trust your feelings. Your feelings will never lie. Okay? So if you're not feeling good, you're not feeling excited, you're not feeling connected, it's probably because you're not.
Fantastic. That's a great, great feeling. It also goes to really sometimes your gut reaction, your first gut reaction is the right one. So it's about recognizing that you can't just throw it away. Look at it, analyze it, understand where it's coming from. And
yeah,
more often than not, it's the right feeling for you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And you don't have to quit. It doesn't mean you have to walk away from your job. It just may mean that you need to make some changes, some adjustments.
Right. How many times in any situation, not just job situations, do you say you're faced with a decision and you have a gut reaction and then you go, no,
yeah,
that's too quick. I can't go with that. And then you think it through and you do something else and you look back and you go, I should have went with
my
gut
reaction.
What
that
the heck was I thinking? That's the problem. I thought too much, you know.
That's right. Exactly.
Right. That's so fantastic. So, you know, Yulia, why don't you let people know how they can find out more about you?
Yeah, so they can reach me, first of all, on my website at www.happytransitions.com. And they can also email me directly at Yulia, which is Yulia, at happytransitions.com. And I would love to hear from your listeners with comments or questions and anything and everything related to really finding that true career fulfillment and happiness.
Fantastic. You know, I just, before we wrap up, again, I just want to mention the shows that are coming up. Tomorrow at noon, Walk Your Talk with Leanne into the Heart of Forgiveness. On Friday at noon, it's Train Your Brain to Up Your Game with Coach Mandy. And then on Sunday night at 9 p.m., Mark My Words with Certified Life and Business Coach Mark Shawl, and he'll have the Personal Financial Makeover, Finance Makeover, the Financial Advisor Brian Dumont. And, of course, go to LifeCoachRadioNetworks.com to learn more about this exciting inaugural 2014 New Year, New You Weekend Workshop. We're going to have, I think, 17 different workshops over 2 days. Most of them are one coach speaking in front of an audience, but a few of them are going to be like life coach chat channels. For our listeners who know about that, there'll be two or three coaches getting up and having a discussion with the audience about a certain topic, which will be decided on in the very near future. So join us all for that. And again, I can't thank you enough, Yulia, for joining us tonight. This has been really, really eye-opening for me. It's really, for me, it's been affirming, you know, life-affirming of the things that I've done and that how what I've done in my life has been the right decisions for me. You know, I didn't want to get divorced, but it was put in front of me. And instead of rolling up into a ball and figuring out that that's not what I'm going to do anymore, I picked myself up. I pulled up my man pants, as they say, and decided, okay, what am I going to do next in my life? I didn't want to lose all my money in 2008, but I did. And now I'm, you know, happy with what I'm doing. I'm building my practice, helping one person at a time, you know, recover. And it sounds like that's what you're doing as well. You're helping those people who are not sure why they're unhappy, figure out why they're unhappy and how they can be happy, whether it's in their job or in another job.
Yeah. Absolutely. It was my absolute pleasure to be here, Martin. Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm available to come back anytime you need me. And
I just want to say that
through your emotion, through your passion, I can hear you, that you are exactly where you need to be right now. You're living purpose.
Thank you. And just to remind everybody, www.happytransitions.com is Yulia's website. Go check her out. Learn more about what she does and how she helps people find their own happiness and whatever it is, their happy transition. Great name. I love it. And just to remind you, I'm your divorce recovery coach, You go to www.yourdivorcerecoverycoach.com to learn more about me and how what I do is help people recover from the emotional pains of divorce. So until next time, thanks so much for joining us. And next time, my guest will be Donna Kozik, who is the creator of How to Write a Book in a Weekend. She helped me write my book, and we're going to discuss everything you need to know to write a book in a weekend so that you can get yourself started if that's something you're interested in doing. Until then, thank you so much for your time. Thank you, Yulia, for joining us.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.